Lynn Hiles Ministries presents Dr. Lynn Hiles, That You Might Have Life. And here's your host, Dr. Lynn Hiles.
Thank you for joining us again this week on the program. I trust you have followed the last three episodes that we have taught on the 12th chapter of Revelation as we shift the perspective from not only the victory of the Lamb as he's seated on the throne and the kingdom of Jesus being established and his enemies being defeated, but now we see a little different perspective in that he's now bringing into the equation the woman and her seed, which to me, is a powerful picture of now the involvement in the church and enforcing the victory that was won at Calvary. I'm going to read from the Amplified Bible in this segment and try to conclude my remarks on the 12th chapter in this segment. We'll see. But I'm reading from the Amplified Bible. If you missed any of these, you can go back to our YouTube channel and to our podcast and RSS feed for your Android device by going to my website at lynnhiles.com. In the upper right-hand corner, there are icons that will take you directly to those channels, and you can go back and review and watch these again. Revelation 12, and a great sign warning of an ominous and frightening future event appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. She was with child, the Messiah, and she cried out, being in labor and pain to give birth. Now, I already covered all of these, so I'm not going to do too much remarks on them. Then another sign of warning was seen in heaven. Behold, a great red fiery dragon, Satan, with 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his heads were 7 royal crowns or diadems. You can find the text for this in Daniel 7, verse 7. And I talked about that in a prior segment as well. And his tail swept across the sky and dragged away a third part of the stars of heaven and flung them to the earth. And the dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she gave birth, he might devour her child. She gave birth to a son, a male child who was destined to rule, shepherd all the nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God to his throne. A good reference for that would be Psalm 2, verses 8 and 9, and Psalm 110, verses 1 and 2. Then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared by God, so that she would be nourished there for 1,260 days, or 42 months, 3.5 years. Now, that's probably what we're going to try to get into in this segment, is the woman being nourished in the wilderness. And war broke out in heaven, and Michael the archangel and his angels waging war with the dragon. The dragon and his angels fought, but they were not strong enough and did not prevail, and there was no longer a place found for them, in heaven. You can see for a reference on that, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 4, and Jude verse number 6. They were cast down. And that great red dragon was thrown down, the age-old serpent who is called the devil. Devil and Satan, who continually deceives and seduces the entire inhabited world, he was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation, the power, and the kingdom and dominion and the reign of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our believing brothers and sisters has been thrown down at last. He who accuses them and keeps bringing charges of sinful behavior against them before our God night and day. And they overcome and conquered him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, for they did not love their life, nor did they renounce their faith, even when faced with death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you that dwell in them, in the presence of God. Woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has come down to you in great wrath, knowing that he has only a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was thrown down to the earth, he persecuted the woman who had given birth to the male child. But the two wings of a great eagle were given to the woman so that she could fly into the wilderness to her place where she was nourished for a time, times, and half a time, or 3.5 years, away from the presence of the serpent, Satan. And the serpent hurled water like a river out of his mouth after the woman so that he might cause her to be swept away with the flood. But the earth helped the woman And the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the river, which the dragon had hurled out of his mouth. So the dragon was enraged with the woman. And when he went off to wage war on the rest of her children, her seed, those who keep the commandment and obey the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus, holding firmly to it and bearing witness to him. Now, I'm going to come back and just look at some things that I have in my in my notes concerning this. Now, of course, I'm sorry, I keep having to clear my throat, but I've been talking for a while. But as we go back and look at this, these time periods are the very time periods that he talked about in Daniel chapter 7 and Daniel chapter 12, when he talked about times and a half of times, or 3.5 years. You see that come from the book of Daniel, where he's talking about how long these things were going to occur. And especially in Daniel 12, he talks about that, where he talks about it'll be for times and a half a time. And from the time of the removal of the evening sacrifice will be 1260 days. Now, I'm going to read this to you from my notes, and we will kind of come down through this, because I think it will help us to see the woman fleeing into the wilderness. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared of God, and they should feed her there for 1,260 days. This fleeing into the wilderness is in fulfillment of the prophecy that Jesus gave, warning the Jews that when you see Jerusalem encompassed with armies, you must flee into the mountains. The 1,260 days is equivalent to the times and half a time, or 3.5 years, or 42 months. 1,260 days is in fulfillment of Revelation 11, verses 2 and 3, when the city was sieged by the Gentiles for 42 months. If you remember back when I had the timeline chart on the screen, the last 3.5 years of the scope of the prophecy that Jesus gave, that there would be great tribulation such as was not since the world began or would ever be again, would be falling upon the heels of the abomination that maketh desolate. And I showed you that that occurred somewhere around 66 AD, and by 70 AD, all of that had taken place. And from the time that the Romans sieged the city, and there was great tribulation, there was great famine, there was great distress, and much of the prophecy, well, not much, all the prophecy of Jesus gave in Matthew 24 was being fulfilled over that time period. And so, much like Elijah, who fled into the wilderness during the 3.5 years of drought from the judgment of God upon Israel, and he was fed by the ravens, so the woman in the book of Revelation seemed to be carried by eagle's wings into a place prepared for her, that she might be nourished. This is also a picture. This is also pictured in God delivering his people out of Egypt and providing manna in the wilderness for them to nourish them. He is said to have carried them on eagle's wings in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 10. Now, if you remember, I have showed you over and over and over in my teaching that there's an incredible Exodus paradigm all the way through the Scriptures, and especially the New Testament, that begins with, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And the night before his decease, when Jesus is about to eat the Passover, he's telling them another Exodus is about to take place. And I have covered that immensely, so I'm not going to go back and reiterate that. But here's another Exodus, and they're being carried on eagle wings because this dragon is trying to devour this woman. But those who listen to Jesus and heard him say that when you see Jerusalem encompassed with armies, you need to get out of Jerusalem, for then shall be great tribulation such as was not since the world began or ever would be, because God was going to bear them up on eagle's wings. And they fled from Jerusalem to a town called Pella, where they were kept there, and God provided for them supernaturally. You know, I could say a lot of things about different things that have come on the world from that time on. And yes, there seems to be some things that are continuing to be like that. But I just want to encourage you that if God could take care of the children of Israel in the wilderness and feed them with manna, he is able to take care of his people because he's not appointed us to wrath, but he's appointed us to salvation. And again, that has first century connotations, but it still carries over because God has not appointed us to wrath because we are not under law, and the law worketh wrath. And we're not under law, but we are under faith. He carried them on the wings of a great eagle. I thought to myself also, as I was looking at this, of Psalm 91, where it says that you can trust what's under his wings. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom will I trust? Surely he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler. And he goes on to talk about you can trust what's up underneath of his wings. It's the wings are on a mercy seat. The wings of the great mercies of the great cherubims on the mercy seat to me speak about you what you can trust. What's under his wings on the mercy seat, if you'd see a picture of the tabernacle of Moses and the mercy seat that Moses made, or he had Bezaleel and those guys make, was the wings of the cherub that would stretch out and touch each other. But what was underneath of their wings was a blood-sprinkled mercy seat. And what was inside of that ark was the unbroken tablets of the law. When you see the cherubim on, or you see these cherubim on the mercy seat, and you see a blood-sprinkled mercy seat, you never see the law, because the law is inside of the Ark of the Covenant, and it's covered with a mercy seat. I believe that's the reason the men of Beth Shemesh died when they took the Ark, and they looked into the Ark without a mercy seat. It produced death. If you look into the law without mercy, it will produce spiritual death. But I want to tell you, put a lid on it. And when I mean put a lid on it, I mean you need to put the mercy seat back. I want to talk to preachers a little bit today and tell them, put a lid on it. Put the mercy seat back on that ark and let there be a covering that says, when I see the blood, I'm going to pass over you. He's going to carry them on that kind of eagle wings. He's not appointed them to wrath, but while they're being pursued for this 42 months of the period of time that you saw in Revelation 11, where the Gentiles are given the holy city to tread underfoot for 42 months, God is giving them mercy and covering them under his wings. Another scripture that hit me when I thought about this was Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. He's my pastor. I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. But what I'm after is in Psalm 23, he prepares a table before us, right in the presence of our enemies. There is something you can feed on, that right in the presence of enemies, God prepares a table for us, just like he did this woman in the wilderness when she's carried away. God provides something to feed on right in the presence of our enemies. I want to go back then and read a few more scriptures, because I got a few things here I want to unpack as we look down through this, and then we'll come back and see if we can't just bring some summary to it. But it is also the amount of time, this 42 months, it is also the amount of time that the beast is declared to wear out the saints in Daniel chapter 7, verse 25. I'm going to read it to you. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws that were given unto his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. It is the Daniel's back end of the book end of the appointed time of the end. We read in Daniel 12, verse 11, and from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away and the abomination that makes desolate is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Revelation 12, verse 10 says, and I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused him before our God day and night, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They loved not their lives unto death. They overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. These are the overcomers that are promised power over the nations earlier in the book of Revelation that I read to you, that he that overcome, I'll give power over the nations, and he'll rule them with a rod of iron. Because they are moving from an old covenant government of condemnation to a new covenant government of affirmation. The accuser of the brethren no longer has any authority. He has been disarmed, and now these stand only on the blood of the Lamb and their identification with him by their testimony. The only way that any of us can overcome in this hour is not by human works or performance, but by standing on the finished work of his blood. You can trust what's up underneath of his wings. He will feed you there. What you're feeding on is important. Because if you feed on the table that's before you in the presence of your enemies, you won't die in the valley of the shadow of death. You'll get something that will lead you through. There's something to feed on when you're going through something. I think this fits all ages from the first century clear down. Is when you're being persecuted and someone tries to bring back the weapon of the law that was taken from the enemy. Go back to the table of the Lord and say, what's on the table? What is on the table? There's lamb on the table. When you feed on the finished work of Jesus Christ, it will lead you, just like it did the children of Israel, out of bondage and into the wilderness, but ultimately into your promised land. And it was amazing to me that as I look at this, we move from a government of affirmation or a government of condemnation to a government of affirmation. The accuser of the brethren no longer has any authority, has been disarmed, and now these stand only on the blood of their lamb and their identification with him by their testimony. The only way that any of us can overcome in this hour is not by human works or performance, but by standing on the finished work of Jesus' blood. Just like the blood rebuked the death angel in Egypt, deliverance, so the blood of the Lamb rebukes the enemy and says to him, there has already been a death exacted here. You can no longer destroy the firstborn in this home because there has already been a death exacted here. The serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood, and after the woman that he might cause her to be carried away the flood, the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. The only power the enemy has is his mouth. His mouth is his power of accusation. But no weapon formed against you can prosper, especially the weapons of condemnation. He is fully disarmed by the truth of the gospel. I believe you find that same thing in the latter part of Revelation when the dragon is bound. And he's bound from deceiving the nations. That doesn't mean he hasn't any power or authority. It means his main weapon has been taken from him, which is law and legalism. And he has been greatly hobbled or disabled in that he has been bound. What binds the devil is truth, the great chain that holds him from being able to condemn or bring indictment against the children of God or to bring accusation against us. No weapon formed against you can prosper because he has been fully disarmed by the truth of the gospel. This could also be compared to the Red Sea crossing, with the children of Israel were faced with the opposition of the Red Sea. God opened the way through the sea, and they crossed over on dry land. However, the same water that saved them destroyed their perpetual enemy. This could be connected to Revelation chapter 15, where they were standing on the sea of glass, having the victory over the beast, and they sang the song of Moses. This could also be compared to Numbers 16, verses 28 through 33, where the earth opened its mouth and swallowed the instigators of rebellion against Moses. The message is clear throughout the scripture that if God be for us, who can be against us? The seed of the woman in Galatians chapter 3 and 4. If you are Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And what I want you to see is when they came out of the Red Sea on the other side, and you see again what he's saying here in Revelation, the 15th chapter. They got the victory over the beast, the number of his name. And I believe it brings conclusion even to where you see in Daniel that it was given to the beast. And we're gonna talk about that a little bit. But the beast is the same beast that's in Daniel. We keep on looking for another one, but we need to understand that this is the ongoing story of the covenant journey of the people of Israel as they come to their end and God creates a holy nation that's made up of both Jew and Gentile to reboot his purpose and program, and that is that the earth would be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea, and that God's ongoing new creation project would begin to continue as his people would win the ultimate victory. We already have the victory. We just don't know how to operate in it sometimes. But when I see that him talking about this beast of Revelation, we'll talk about it a little bit in the next segments probably. I'm trying to not make this exhaustive, but it's so much information to be gathered. But when you read in Daniel, back when I was teaching these beasts out of Daniel chapter 7 and Daniel chapter 9 and Daniel chapter 12 and Daniel chapter 2, that the beast would be given the authority to prevail against the saints for a times, times, and a half a times. That would be the fulfillment of the 1260, the 3.5 years, the 42 months that the Gentiles tread under city, the holy city. That would be when the believers who heard Jesus say, when you see Jerusalem encompassed with armies, it's time to get out of Dodge, so to speak, and they fled to a town called Pella, where they were carried there by the wings of a great eagle and taken care of just like God took care of the children of Israel in the wilderness at the first Exodus. Now they are in the last Exodus, and they are coming into their promised land, and they're going to win the ultimate victory. But it also goes on to say in Daniel chapter 7, but the time came, and I like this, when the saints possessed the kingdom. And they took the authority and power was given to the saints, and the saints of the Most High possessed the kingdom. In other words, God is handing the keys of the kingdom clear back in the first century to a church and to a man-child and to a woman who is coming out on the other side victorious. And the consummation of this is they stand on the sea of glass with the victory over the beast, the number of his name, and they sing the song of Moses, and they sing the song of the Lamb, singing, Thou hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every nation, kindred, and tongue. And then you see the full consummation of that in Revelation 21 and 22 with the bride, the Lamb's wife, who has made herself ready, and the demise of the beast and the kingdom of God beginning to expand throughout all the earth. Within a couple of hundred years of this event, even Rome itself had become Christianized, and the gospel was now spreading throughout all the world. And the nations were hearing the gospel and free of the condemnation and guilt of an old covenant paradigm, and a new covenant was fully in motion. A little book was opened, and in it is a new covenant where there is a song of redemption that is being sung, and that which was travailing in pain, sing, O barren, and you that did not bring forth, is now a new song being sung in the earth. And he uses that terminology in Isaiah chapter 53 and chapter 54, and also in Galatians, the 4th chapter, where he says, sing, O barren. They're singing in Isaiah 54, because they realize what Isaiah 53 said. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by whose stripes we are healed. And when you start to understand that progression of what took place in Isaiah 53, then Isaiah 54 says, sing, O barren. Let me tell you something. When you come to a real revelation of what the new covenant gives us, it'll jerk a praise up out of you. You'll start to sing when you don't feel like singing. I'm telling you, man, when the this encourages me teaching it, because it is easy to fall back to our default settings of condemnation and guilt and sin consciousness rather than righteousness consciousness, rather than knowing who we are in Christ, going back to who we were in Adam. But I refuse to preach a gospel like that that doesn't, come on, that makes us hang our harp on a willow tree and sing the song of the blues. We're going to sing a new song, a song of victory, and begin to walk in a victory that belongs to us. We're going to take the weapon out of the enemy's hand. I think so many times when people are going through stuff, the weapon formed against them is the weapon of condemnation, and it's the enemy saying, see, you deserve this. This is what you got coming. Let me tell you what, if we got what we deserved, we're all in trouble. But he took what I had coming so I could get what he has coming. I'm thankful that in this first century, there was a consummation that was coming and a shift that was coming, and the weapon was taken from the enemy, and the authority and the victory and the power and the rod of iron, which is not, not to beat people over the head, but to rule with the truth of the gospel that could set men free and bring them into a glorious liberty of the children of God. This woman prevails. And when you see her in Revelation 21 and 22, she's singing a new song, and she's singing the song of the Lamb. And her message is, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Not just the Spirit, but the Spirit and the Bride say, come. There's an invitation. And there's a river that flows from this city. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water, not polluted waters of wormwood and bitterness and hatred and envy and strife, but a river that everything it touches lives. That's what we're called to do. A city whose gates are never shut, that's always open to people who are outside the city. Who's outside the city? Dogs, whoremongers, and whoever loves and makes a lie. But the gates are never shut. And the Spirit and the Bride are saying, come. It's giving an invitation to whoever's thirsty to come. And to whoever wants to, they can drink of the water of life without cost. And if you're watching this today, you're getting a hand delivered from the Spirit to say, you're not under that old covenant of condemnation. You're not under that Babylonian empire that's ready to fall. You've come to a better place and a better city, where there is a message of peace. It is the city of peace, the new Jerusalem, where the King himself lives and resides. It is the tabernacle of God in full manifestation. God realizing his dream, God has moved into the neighborhood. He's made his home in men. That's what the 12th chapter of Revelation is about moving and the travail that first of all was on that first century to bring forth a man-child who could operate in the authority and power of Christ and execute the judgment that was written 2,000 years ago. Well, we're out of time, and we need you to possibly sow a seed into the ministry. If you would do that, you can go to my website. Right there's the address on the screen. There's a place where you can give through our PayPal portal, and you can give via credit card or debit card. You can also set up a monthly debit. If you'd like to partner with us, even $5, $10 a month partners are a great blessing to us, and we need your partnership today. If you'd like to give a one-time gift, you can do that as well. You can send a check or a money order to the address that will come up on the screen, or you can call the number that will come on the screen, and someone will take your call. If you don't get an answer, leave a message, and someone will return your call. God bless you, but thank you for joining us during this segment of The Woman and Her Seed.
For anyone struggling to understand John's writings in Revelation, this book provides true, biblically based answers. Through detailed insights into the letters John wrote to the seven churches of his day, you will learn how to avoid the mistakes of the early church to overcome today's trials and tribulations. This book will provoke you to thought and dialogue, bringing greater clarity and revelation of Jesus Christ.